got a full house. I don't know where anybody else is going to sit, but if they come in, Bob will just move them around over there a little bit. Or back there in the back. So, we're speaking on the book of Revelation. We went through chapter 1, 2, and 3, which is what? The bride in its fullness. And then we saw the last church age, which was Laodicea. And in the Laodicean church age, we see that that's the church age we're in. And the church age does not end, remember. It does for us. But it will not end until we come over past the millennium. Everybody got that? Because millennium is going to be in time. There will be a seventh day millennium. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Because you and I, in typing, we must have a an eighth day. We're going to talk about that when we get into these feast days. You have an eighth day. Well, the eighth day is the future home.
Right.
Because that's eternity. Eight, which is your symbol like this. With no beginning and no end. But if you turn it like this, it makes an eight. Seven is completion. But the time is going to continue on for at least another 1,000 years after we leave. Actually, 1,000 years and 3.5 years. But that doesn't matter to us because today, if you're born again, Paul was born again, he became an eight, an eight, an eight, an eight, an eight, an eight, an eight. That's why the prophet of God said that the bride never was in the church age. Now, you take that literally, he was not right. But if you take it spiritually, literally, we're in Laodicea, and we have all of the spirits of Laodicea. We have all the things we have to get through. But if you're born again, you're in an eighth day. You're already eternal. So that's why when we come back in the millennium, we're just going to be eternal people right here. When we take a body change here, it'll make this thing in an eighth day. But now, for right now, sorry to tell you, this is still in the old seventh day, which is morning, evening. As Brother Luis was talking about, you know, you come into your regular days. But now remember, when we get to this eighth day future home, the Bible says there'll need no light be in the city. Why? Because we'll be glowing. It's like we were talking about, and Brother Luis was bringing that wonderfully Wednesday, is that when God said, let there be light, see, the devil didn't put it out. He just put a shield up in front of it called sin. And we've had to deal with that all the way to where? Because remember, the light inside here can't be put out. But when we come to this future home, we won't need light because you and I will all be the light. Yeah. Not a light.
Yeah.
Right. Satan can be a light. Mm-hmm. Because remember, he's sure he's a demon of darkness, but he likes to become the light. Because the Bible said, Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? They thought they had light.
Right.
But they were dark. The world thinks they have light. People of this world, you know, they just think they're invincible. They have no light. They're in darkness. And you and I are in darkness unless you're born again. But when you're born again, you come up into an eighth day. So here we see in chapter 4, it says, after this, in other words, after the church ages, behold a door. Now, who is the door? Jesus Christ is the door. Right?
Right.
The door was opened in heaven. Now, remember, we're all under an open book, opened in heaven. Right? And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking to me. And what is a trumpet? It's a message. It denotes something going forth. Right?
Yeah.
Talking to who? Me. So that's why the rapture is a revelation.
Yeah.
That's God talking to you.
Amen.
When you get born again, God has said, I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Right.
You have been born again, I'm talking to you. Now I'm going to use a fivefold ministry. I'm going to use a laity to speak to you, but it's me talking to you.
Yeah.
Because it didn't say the sound of a trumpet talking to them.
Right.
It's not a bunch of denominations and not a bunch of this, that, or the other. It's Him. It's God Almighty talking to you. Which said, come up hither. And every time we come to church, every time we do press play and all the different things that we do as far as fivefold ministry and listen to the prophet, that's what should be, is not a message of goodwill and good cheer and how to live on the earth, which has got something to do with it while we're in our earthly journey. But Brother Dale every morning and Brother Branham and any of these ministers, Brother Luis and all, they're telling you as soon as they open their mouth, they should be, come up hither. Because we're trying to get up out of this thing.
Amen.
So that's, John is the type of the whole bride. And he hears the voice that says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So in other words, right. He's going to give you a revelation.
Yeah.
God's not just going to birth you into his body and then say, all right, fend for yourself.
Right.
No. That's why we've been on this journey of a Christian for a long time, and we're still, even in these feast days, we're going to be talking about the journey of a Christian. Because you have a spiritual journey, just like Israel had a natural journey, just like Abram and Abraham had a natural journey, Ruth and Esther had a natural journey that they went through, to help you that you can read in the Bible and say, man, I went through that right there. Or I'm going through this right here. Let's see what Esther said about it. Let's see what Ruth, see what the Bible said about it, right? To show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, obviously, he was in the Spirit, lifted up. And a throne was set in heaven, and three sat on the throne.
No.
One. So the greatest revelation you can ever have is one true and living God.
Yeah, right.
And that same God created the world, created you, and birthed you. Died for you, rose for you, came back on the day of Pentecost for you, and he's sitting on what throne? Oh no, brother, he's up there somewhere and he's got this great big ivory throne. No, he's sitting in your throne.
Yeah.
He's either sitting in your throne room or wanting to get in your throne room. Alright? So immediately I was in the Spirit, or caught up in the Spirit, because remember, now, you got to see, revelations is in layers.
Right.
Even your revelation is in layers. You get a revelation of one true living God, and then you hear a few things like Brother Luis is bringing out a couple things Wednesday night.
Right.
That I had, it's not that I didn't see it that way, it's just that I'd never seen it that way.
It was good.
Yes, it was good. It was good. And y'all need to tell these people. Like I said before, if a preacher says, oh, I don't need recognition, then he's a liar. Even Brother Branham said that. Brother Branham said that man was a liar.
Yeah.
He said, I like somebody to pat me on the back, tell me I did a good job. So anyway, because we're human beings. And if it was God speaking to you, then he just got out of the way and let God speak.
Yes.
So what a gift. That's, to me, that's the greatest gift in the world.
Amen.
Is get out of the way and let God do the work.
Right.
So behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, this is a, look at me, this is natural John. John, natural John, is writing, remember what he said way back over there? Write what you see.
Right?
Write what you see, John, and send it to the churches. Heard behind me a great voice of the trumpet, verse 10. Now look, verse 19. Write the things which you see, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Because John's fixing to write in chapter 4, he is writing things that have not happened yet on this physical earth. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
On the physical earth. But when John was caught up, he was like Brother Branham, like in the Eagle Age, he was caught up and he could see and saw all the way to this right here.
Yeah, that's right.
All the way to this eighth day. Man, that's why John rejoiced. That's why you couldn't hear nothing but John yelling. You think I'm loud. All heaven heard John when he screamed and saw his name in the book and saw this whole plan of redemption coming into view, just the one man, John. And he says, write the things which thou see, the mystery of the seven stars, And the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars of the angels. We understand that. So we went through the church ages. And here's the door in heaven. Immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, this is what we have to, from this point forward, you got to think. We're looking at a natural scene, and then we've got to look at something happens in the spirit. Yeah. A spiritual scene. Okay? Everybody got that? Yeah. Because when we're, this is what confuses most people in the message, is this quote, and I'll probably try to bring it next Sunday, is where Brother Branham says that the bride goes up in chapter 4:1 and is not seen until Revelation 19. Well, it just throws everybody into a tizzy. All this revelation in between that is not even for us. Well, no, it's not. But yes, it is.
That's right. Amen.
We're not going to naturally be here when the plagues fall. We're not going to naturally be here when some of these things happen. Everybody got that? Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 13, when the United States speaks for the beast, we better not be here. All right. But it has symbols and it has a revelation in there, because we got to get caught up in the spirit, not into the natural thing, because I'm going to throw you a little loop here. Everybody ready?
Come on.
Brother Joe said no. He's not ready. You ready now? No. Okay, he's ready now. All right. Revelations 10, 1 through 6 is not to us. We're gone. I just told you we're gone.
You sure did.
I did. Revelations 4:1. We go up and come across, and here's Revelations 19 when we come back riding in the millennium right here.
Right.
We're not here. This is to the Jews. Because what's going to happen in Revelations 10:1, they're going to get the literal mighty angel through two prophets, are going to go to Israel.
That's right.
And preach to them and bring a people out. But then you bring in and interject Revelations 10. You saw I stopped at 7. Because that's 7 church ages. And this is still a church age. But on chapter 10, verse 7, you bring in, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, these things, back to Revelation 4, will be made known. Now remember, made known by prophecy. Because Brother Branham prophesied, went off the scene. Everybody got that?
Right.
So now we can see that Revelations 10, 1 through 6 is the mighty angel coming to see us.
Yes.
Because don't do away with that. That mighty angel did come down from heaven, descended from heaven with a shout, voice of an archangel. That's why it is confusing. If you can't read the book of Revelation, if you can't understand the book of Revelation, go back to this right here. Revelation 4 is a scene in heaven. Alright, it's not going to happen on the earth. John's caught up.
Right.
Revelations 4 and Revelations 5. Everybody got that? Revelations 5 is a scene in heaven. It's a scene that's eternal, because it goes all the way back from the Redeemer all the way to where we are kings and priests. And where are we kings and priests? We're over here. Okay? See, we're not that here. We're going to see that in our feast days way on down the road. That we're not kings and priests right here.
Right.
The 1,000-year millennium is to the Jews so that Christ can rule and reign on the throne, the 12 tribes. We don't reign. We don't have anything to do with 12 tribes. We don't even know how. We don't know how to rule Jewish rule. Everybody got that? Just like the temple. Could you go over there right now and build a temple? No, but I'll guarantee you there's some Orthodox Jews over there that could go over there and tell you how the whole dimensions, from memory, the whole dimensions, where to put the pot, where to put the laver, where to put the Holy of Holies, but we can't. Why? Because it's not to us. We put all that in here, in our temple.
Right.
It's not pots and pans. And feast days, as we're fixing to talk about. But God give them feast days to honor Him, because we're going to read it this afternoon. They're not Israel's feasts. Nowhere in the Bible it talks about Israel's feast. Every time God mentions it, He said, they're my feast.
Yeah.
They're my feast. They're mine. I'm going to allow you into my feast, and then this is what you're going to do. Amen? Because remember, but now see, us as Gentiles, think about this. Them as Jews, even back through here, if they didn't receive the Holy Ghost, a lot of these Jews are going to be given eternal life. You got your fifth seal Jew. You've got all these different kinds of Jews that go all the way back to Jesus' time. You say Jew, yeah, Nicodemus. Brother Graham said Nicodemus. And Gamaliel will be given eternal life for what? Not turning Christ down, but they didn't accept Him because it wasn't time. So there's a place for these Jews in the Bible, so that's why you've got the Old Testament. And that's why you've got this Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Because remember, you're going to get in Revelation 6. There's your seals. We get the spiritual part of the seals. Now, we don't get the natural part of the seal.
Right.
We get the spiritual part. So we're in the spiritual point here, and we'll go through that as we go along. But just keep remembering two things in your mind. This is to the natural Jew, or what I would say, the 144,000. Because we're going to read in here several places in Revelation 7 or somewhere in there where it says they sang a new song that no one can sing but them.
Right.
Why? Because our redemption is different than their redemption.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. Our redemption is different to a degree. It's the same Holy Ghost, but we receive it as Gentiles here. They're receiving it while we're gone, and they're not bride anymore. Christ put them away. They're not bride. But they do have a place. That's why God put in the Word, 144,000 would be saved. 12,000 from each tribe would be saved. Because God's not going to ever forget Israel. Listen, it looks like sometimes that God just forgot Israel when He come on the day of Pentecost. He just forgot natural Israel. He never forgot natural Israel.
Right.
Even they continue on today. The old Orthodox Jew continue to do sacrifices. They continue to do, but they just don't have everything in place yet. Right? So now as we see this, Revelation 4:1, we go up. And then in Revelation 19, the bride comes back. Because we have to go somewhere to let all this happen naturally on earth. Because it's not to us. Like I said, it's not to the bride. The bride doesn't have a feast day, and the bride doesn't have a holy convocation as they have one. Ours is spiritual.
Yes.
We celebrate the feast days. In our new birth, you went through these stages of even the seven feast days. Because remember, there's only justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, but you got the four, full restoration, and then we talked about the other day going up the statue of perfect man again. Not again, you know what I mean? But you justified in faith, justified, sanctified, baptism, Holy Ghost. Then you start going through the same thing again.
Right.
Justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. When you get up here in the headstone, the real you didn't do it. You're sanctified completely, and then you become the bride complete.
Yes.
The total headship of Christ. And when Christ is the head, guess what? When the head... The head tells you what to do. The head tells the whole body what to do. Right?
Right.
And that's what we're heading toward and heading to is that great point to where we now remember, because when we come back, we're what? We're bride over here. This is the bride. Right here, she's a wife.
Right.
A mature one. So let's get into this. Remember, but then don't say, well, that's not applied to me. You make sure every part of the Bible, don't ever kick any part of the Bible out because it applies to you.
Yeah.
But maybe it don't apply to you naturally. Everybody got that?
That's right.
All right, so the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1. And John types the bride. But see, you and I get to look at this scene. Watch this scene right here. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone. There was a rainbow around the throne in sight like an emerald. Now, Brother Brown tells us that all we see on natural earth is what? we see half a rainbow. Because the covenant's not totally fulfilled yet. Everybody got that? I'll just tell you, you look it up in the church age book. You read a church age book, you read that. Because you get a half.
Right.
But when he's sitting on this throne, when we're caught up, it says round about the throne.
Amen.
In other words, completion.
That's right.
In sight like an emerald. Remember, Brother Brown talked about that light being an emerald light. It was a round light. Why? Because God is eternal. God's eternal, and then when he connects us together, guess what? That makes your eight. Alright? Just little symbols to look at. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Alright, here's seats for 24 people. Everybody got that? 24 people. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. Now remember, what are these 24 people?
Elders.
They are 12 patriarchs in the Old Testament and your 12 apostles in the New Testament. So John was one of them. Right? So John in symbol, John saw himself sitting there.
Right.
If not, he just said there's 23 and I'm number 24. He said there's 24 seats. But now remember, he's in a vision. Brother Brown saw himself in the vision. When you have a vision or a dream, you see yourself in it. So there's no problem when John to look and see himself. But here's my revelation of this. John saw himself right here. Then you go to Revelation 5. And he sees himself again, because there's 24 elders there. And to me, by the time the end of that chapter 5, we're going to see John that the heavens can't contain his voice. Why? He knew he made it.
That's right.
He knew he made it.
Amen.
He knew he made what God had told him. Because remember, Jesus stood on earth and he said, "Someone among you will see me coming in power." In other words, in the end time. So remember, the thing went around that there was somebody not going to die before they saw the Lord coming back in the second coming. But they misunderstood that. He was talking directly to John, but John didn't know it until, I believe, John went to the Isle of Patmos, and that's a pretty horrible place to be, but he's like, man, this is what Jesus was talking about.
Right.
So he saw himself sitting there, saw his other brothers, the other 11 apostles. He saw them, James, John, Matthew, Mark, all the, not Mark, Mark wasn't an apostle, sorry. But anyway, the 12, Matthias, and all the different ones. He saw that Peter. He saw them sitting there, and himself sitting there. Because he's looking at a vision. Television. Right? And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thundering and voices. So it wasn't a very silent place. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, there's your church age messengers. They were there. Okay? In form. In form. Okay? They weren't there in person. Don't get it in your head that Brother Branham was sitting there and he knew where he was at. No.
Right.
You can't make pre-existence of souls. Brother Branham, how in the world? That's... People don't understand. If they put Brother Branham standing here talking to John on Patmos, they make him either Mormon or Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
Yeah. Because Jehovah's Witness believes that we were in heaven, or Mormons believe we were in heaven, talking to God, and the devil was sitting there.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You look it up online if you want to. And there, we're all sitting here, and it shows a picture of people sitting around a table, and then Lucifer shows his plan, and it's a wonderful plan. And then Jesus shows his plan, and it's a better plan. So God the Father accepts Jesus' plan, and then God sends us all to earth, and then the devil gets mad. And he takes his people and brings them down here to get back at us. Now that's a doctrine. So if you got Brother Branham standing on the Isle of Patmos, In some form of theophany, or that Brother Branham himself is standing there, you've got pre-existence of souls, you've got a Jehovah Witness doctrine or a Mormon doctrine, and I just don't believe that.
Right. That's right.
Brother Brown said, what were you before you were born? He said, you were nothing.
Right.
Except
right.
in the mind of God.
Amen. Right.
Except in the mind of God. Now, you were an attribute.
Yeah.
But we weren't standing there watching this whole thing. No. You know why? Because John stood there and watched it for us.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. That's just, I just got that. I just got that. Because John was that. John represented the whole bride. So now we can, though, see John, see what John saw. Remember the song? What John saw. But see, it took a prophet to tell us that John typed the entire bride. Because nobody in any commentary would ever tell you that John types the entire bride. But Brother Brown comes down and says, hey, John typed the entire bride, because he went back and Jesus told him, said, one of you is going to stand here and see me coming in other words, the second coming, and there's John standing there. But now as we see, and he said, John, write what you saw and send it to the churches.
Amen.
Why? Because the churches need this.
Amen.
We need this. Alright? And then though we can see this in symbol form and see the seven spirits of God, we know it was Paul, all these right here. We know it was these people. But it wasn't these people. It was the seven spirits that was allocated for that church age. Everybody got that?
Right.
And before the throne, there was a sea of glass. We'll get right here and then we'll stop. We can never get through this. Maybe in the millennium. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like into crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And let's read this right here, because we've been talking about the lion, ox, man, and eagle, and we'll explain it again next Sunday. The first beast was a lion, second beast a calf or an ox, the third beast the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. There's where you get your... So what's around about the throne? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moving around the throne, because remember, God's in movement all the time. He's in movement.
Amen.
Moving around about.
Right? Right.
And what is it? It's a symbol of a lion, symbol of an ox, symbol of a man, and symbol of not an eagle sitting on a limb. He's flying.
Yeah, that's right.
You can see more when you fly. Can't you see more when you fly? You can see a lot more when you fly instead of sitting on top of a tree. Right? So we'll stop right there. 10:11, so let's go ahead now. Make sure we go out this door, because there's people still sitting in the middle for the service. So, greet the new people that are here today too, if you don't mind.